It's already the last Sunday in January, the 31st, and this happens to also be the fifth Sunday. For the rest of the year, only May, August, and October have five Sundays. Thank you for joining us today for the radio worship service of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois. Helen Ely, our organist, now opens this Sunday's worship with a prelude. Please pray with me. Holy God, you are the author and giver of all life. You are the authority of the universe, and in Jesus, you are the Lord and Savior of our lives. Gather us together this day as we worship you, and send your Spirit to speak to us through the music, the scripture, the message, and the prayers. Amen. We call on our Praise Team a cappella group to center us in worship today as they bring us Christ We Do All Adore Thee. We look today at our second Gospel of Mark. This was written by John Mark, who was a companion of Paul and Barnabas, and wrote about 50 years after Jesus. We are still in the first chapter of Mark, and today we look at verses 21 through 28. Listen now to the words of God. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. But just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He never gives orders to impure spirits, and he even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. May God's blessings fall on us from the reading and hearing of God's word this day. Amen. We turn to the TPC choir to lead us in a congregational song titled, "Christ is Made the Sure Foundation." Somewhere in the 1500s, there was a Latin monastic hymn titled "Urb Beata Jerusalem." John Mason Neal, a student of medieval worship, translated this hymn in 1851 and then rewrote it with a more modern approach. He's also known for creating such hymns as "All Glory, Laud, and Honor," and the Christmas hymn, O Come, Emmanuel." Please join our TPC choir as they lead us in "Christ is Made the Sure Foundation." with me? Lord, now may the words which come from my mouth and the meditation that falls on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. We like to know things that are recommended for us are done so with some authority. Like the commercial that encourages us to buy a certain toothpaste, and the voiceover says, 9 out of 10 dentists recommend. I guess I always want to know who that one dentist was. But in general, what they're trying to do is convince us that there is some authority behind their claims. I know when I was teaching in a university setting, I used to talk about all my degrees and all my experience because I wanted to make sure I was teaching these students and they knew what I was talking about because I had authority. Sometimes authority comes not from words, but from a title or even a uniform. First responders are recognized as being called into emergency situations and expected to perform what they've been trained to do. They have that authority, and we recognize them by the uniforms they wear. Of course, there is that favorite line that's often quoted in the movies or used on Saturday Night Live. It originally came from a movie in 1947, but it was popularized in the movie Blazing Saddles in 1974. The evil Hedley Lamarr is recruiting an army to attack the town of Rock Ridge. As each group of evildoers checks in, they get a deputy star, a sign of their authority. A group of banditos checks in, and when they're handed these stars, the line that comes is, "Badges? We don't need no stinking badges." Sometimes we talk about people who have authority or what we call authorization. In fact, we even put up signs, "Only authorized personnel," behind this line. We sometimes have ranks of authority. Those of you who served in the military had to memorize early on the difference between a person having one silver stripe or two. The former was a lieutenant, while the latter was a captain. A captain outranks a lieutenant in both rank, but also in authority. In the days of Jesus, religious leaders had authority. There were those chosen to be priests, and they had authority over the people when it came to religious practices and rituals. One such authority was given that when a leper believed they were cured, they would need to get the blessing of a Jewish priest that they were really cured before they were allowed back in society. One of the priests was elected to be the chief priest, and that individual had not only authority over all the people, but also over all the priests. Rabbis had authority. They were the teachers and interpreters of the law, and even their title comes from the Hebrew word rav, which meant master. And so rabbi would refer to someone who was my teacher or my master. The tradition of authority of rabbis in Judaism continued throughout the ages. You may recall in the movie Fiddler on the Roof, whenever the townspeople of Anatevka wanted to know what was the right interpretation, they would go to the rabbi and ask because the rabbi had authority to teach and interpret the law. The question of authority was one always being raised when it came to Jesus. Often you will read in the Gospels, after Jesus performs some miracle of healing or made some new pronouncement, there's often a phrase that states something like, "And the religious rulers questioned if he had the authority to do that." The gospel writer Mark wants to get that understood once and for all and right away in the story of Jesus. As we turn today to our Bible lesson in the very first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, it is the Sabbath, and it's time to go to church. Well, to synagogue, at least. Jesus appears at this synagogue in Capernaum, which is a small fishing village, maybe with a population of around 1,500. It's on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Peter was there, came from there, along with others. Jesus not only enters the synagogue, but he begins to teach. Now, this was common as people traveled from town to town, particularly in these small villages. Someone would show up from someplace else, but they would consider themselves a teacher, and they would appear at the synagogue at some point. They'd stand up and give their teaching, their interpretation of some Jewish custom, tradition, or even an interpretation of the law. Often people simply gave them a chance to speak, thanked them politely, but never gave much respect to what they had to say. They may have been a good speaker, but in those days, they really didn't possess the authority behind their words. Jesus begins to teach. The text says that people were amazed because as he taught the people with authority. Now, even the best of speeches in those days would draw a heckler or two, and one appears at this teaching moment of Jesus. As he begins to heckle Jesus, Jesus turns to him and commands an evil spirit to come out of him. It does rather violently, and now the crowd is even more amazed. Not only do his words have authority, but so do his actions. Who is this guy? There's something important in this story about Jesus. He had the authority not only to speak the words of truth, but to also act as only the Messiah could. And as the text says, his notoriety begins to spread throughout the entire region. People with authority tend to have that happen to them. What's interesting about all this is that Jesus had this authority not because he dressed any different. He didn't wear a uniform. He didn't even have any badges. Jesus did not show off his advanced degrees or his years of experience in teaching and healing. 9 out of 10 religious leaders did not recommend listening to him. In fact, just the opposite. No, Jesus was like us. And yet his very presence gave way to an authority of his words and of his actions. Because his authority did not come from human definitions, but from being the Son of God. He did not have extra bars on his insignia, nothing of human creation to designate authority over anyone else. Jesus was just Jesus, and yet his very presence changed those who were around him. For the rest of the story of Jesus in Mark and in the other three Gospels, we find Jesus teaching and doing things with that authority. And in fact, in Matthew 28:17, as Jesus is giving his final instructions to the remaining 11, remember what he said? All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. What happens next is that Jesus implies that we, as Christians, those who will follow him, will take that authority and we will go and make disciples by baptizing and teaching. Each one of us who claims Jesus as Lord and Savior has been given that same authority to do three things: to go, to make, and to teach. We go into the world, we make disciples and baptize them, we teach so others will know they have the authority to go, to make, and to teach. Amy Carmichael was born in Ireland, but had brown eyes instead of the traditional blue eyes. She would share that growing up, she often prayed to God to change the color of her eyes so she would better fit in. As she became a young woman, she heard a missionary evangelist by the name of Hudson Taylor. At one of his services, she felt empowered by God and given the authority to do mission work. This was very unusual, for you see, it was 1887, and women stayed at home to take care of their families, and certainly a single woman would not go and do mission work. But she felt she had the authority from God to do just that. She began her work in Belfast, Ireland, creating a safe house for women and girls from the slums who were living on the streets. She provided them with a safe place to stay, a warm bed, some good warm food, and she taught them about the authority of Jesus and how Jesus could empower them to change their lifestyles and live with God's authority. In 1892, she went for a short stay in Japan to do mission work. When she returned from there, she felt the call to go to India. Before she left, she learned the Tamil language, and she would rub ground coffee on her skin to darken it, so that her once hated brown eyes and her dark skin would fit in India. One of the first things she did in India was to organize a women's group to combat young women who were sold into prostitution in the Hindu temples. She continued to help women and orphan children in southern India, and in fact, the result of her tireless ministry was the creation of the Dhanavar Fellowship. She managed that program for over 50 years until her death in 1951. That organization continues this day to reach out to hundreds of women in need with the authority of the Word of God and the authority of God's Spirit. When we embrace the authority of Jesus Christ and we apply that authority as followers of His, we can do miraculous things when we go into the world, when we make disciples, when we teach those followers. It is by this work the rest of the world will experience firsthand the continued authority and work of Jesus Christ in our midst. And just as those gathered with Jesus in Capernaum, so will those in our communities be amazed by the authority we have. Go and make and teach in the world in the name of Jesus Christ with authority. Amen and amen. Our praise team now leads us in a contemporary song written by Hillsong United from Australia. It's called Oceans, and it recognizes that when we struggle in life, it is God's authority to us that gives us the power and the authority to be successful Christians. Listen as Dawn Hollis leads us in this song.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest water.
We really appreciate those of you who listen to us each week on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. As I mentioned last week, we are back to in-person worship in our sanctuary beginning each Sunday at 10 AM. Please join us today if you want to be with us, and I will be preaching on the subject of trust. I want to take a moment to ask for your help, particularly if you are a listener of this worship service and not a parishioner of ours at TPC. This year, we've committed to do this radio program for 52 weeks in 2021. Between the production costs and the broadcast costs, each radio show requires about $120. Now, I've never liked preachers who talk about sending money for 15 minutes for a 30-minute show, and I won't do that today. I simply ask if you're interested in helping to support this radio ministry and feel led by God to make a donation, please send your donation to our church. Please send it to our office at TPC, 1030 North 7th Street. Our zip code is 62702. Or you may contribute online at our website, which is Third, spelled out T-H-I-R-D, third-presbyterian.org. And I simply thank you in advance. Please join us in another congregational song titled Shine, Jesus, Shine. It was written in 1996 by Graham Kendrick. He's the son of a Baptist preacher, and even though trained as a teacher, he began in 1972 to pursue a singing and songwriting career. He has produced over 30 albums and over 400 songs. Please join us in this song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Will you please now join me in prayer? Lord, you have not only created us, and not only do you sustain us, but you empower us to, with your authority, to go and make and teach. Help us to be beacons of your authority in the light we shine upon our friends and our relatives, and even to those who we don't know but we cross paths with in our daily journey. Lord, give us energy each day to be your faithful stewards of all that is around us, and in particular the message of salvation in Jesus, who by your authority is our Lord and Savior. Watch over our individual families, the families that make up the Springfield area, the TPC family, the radio ministry family, the families in our state and beyond, and Lord, bless those whose work is involved in toiling in faraway places as they bring with authority your message of hope and salvation. Now bless the work we do in the name of Christ, who lived and died and rose again for us, and who reigns now and forever as the living Christ. Amen. We have been blessed to have a college sophomore home for the holiday season who has shared her music talents with our congregation in worship. Last week, she returned to Illinois College to finish up the school year, and she will return for the summer and lend her beautiful voice to the worship of our God. Please listen now to Sydney Gayston as she sends us out today with another Hillsong worship song, What a Beautiful Name It Is.
Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory.
Go now from this place and time of worship to live according to the teachings of our Lord Jesus. Go into the world to make disciples and to teach the faith. And may the God of blessings shower you with abundance both day and night. Amen. Thank you for listening to us today. It takes a village to produce this radio show. So let's give a shout out to Helen Ely on our organ, Jeff Prince, our music director, the TPC choir and the TPC praise team, including the a cappella singers, to our AV team of Seth Hood, our production manager, and our assistants, Scott Humphreys, Daquan Stamps, and Braden Prince, to Sydney Gayston, our soloist today, and of course, as always, a thank you to Matt Miller, the man and the legend of post-production editing. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, and I'm the pastor at TPC. Have a blessed week, and please remember to, say it with me, stay safe out there.